Matt Barros, what is going on? Good morning. Thanks for joining the roast again. And, you know, everybody's talking about the quarterbacks. I want to ask you, all your years covering OTAs and mini camps and in training camps, does every year get hyped up a bit more? Because I don't remember OTAs and mini camps being covered like this, say 10 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago. Talk about your experience to cover these events and how much hype it gets year after year after year.
Oh, for sure. I mean, when I first got on the beat, these things didn't exist. Like, the season ended, and then you had free agency in March, and then the draft, and then there was nothing from April until late July. In fact, I got a teacher's certificate at one point because I had all this dead time, and so I decided that I would substitute teach in the in that day. I mean, I didn't know what to do with myself.
What subject
I had like
3 months
teach? Of doing nothing.
What subject
so,
did you teach?
Yeah, no, the NFL is genius. They've got the shortest season of all the pro teams, but they figured out how to fill up the full 12-month calendar with events now, and OTAs and minicamps are part of that, and you know, credit to them. I mean, they dominate even when it's, you know, kind of small-time stuff in the off-season.
Now I gotta ask, what subject did you teach? Was it math? Was it English? Was it geometry, geology? What the hell did you teach, Matt?
I never got off the bench. I did all the testing, I got my certificate, and then I think that's when they changed it to the OTAs, and we started covering those. So my time went away, but I remember spending a couple of off seasons. I was just beside my. I mean, what do you do? I was like in my 20s. I had nothing to do with my time during the day, so I did that.
Well, what do you think's going on right now with you know, Darnold getting first string opportunity or first team reps, and then Trey's getting first team reps? I mean, is this all much ado about nothing, or are you seeing, you know, you're seeing the strategy from the organization trying to identify the best guy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a far cry from last year when the 49ers were, you know, doing everything they could to prop up Lance as the number one guy. I mean, there was no competition. You know, all the players were talking about, oh, yeah, his leadership is fantastic, and he was the guy who spoke to us at the podium. He was the only QB who did that at that point. And this year, it's clear that he's in a battle for that number two, not even the number one spot, for the number two spot on this team. And so I think the strategy is to, you know, put him in a real competition and see if that, you know, takes him further than sort of anointing him would have. And I think, you know, to Trey Lance's credit, he's not batting an eye. He's not saying, oh, how dare they? I'm the former number three pick in the draft. He's taking it all in stride, and I think he is better, certainly looks better than he was at this point last year. So I think that the strategy is going to pay off. You know, what's interesting is that they're going to have this big Darnold versus Lance competition through most of training camp, and then Brock Purdy's going to come back healthy, and he's going to be automatically the number one guy. So basically, it's a big fight for number two.
Oh, very, very interesting. Well, George Kittle mentioned it yesterday after practice that Trey looks a lot better. You just said it as well, Matt, and we have Matt Barros here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game, 49ers insider for The Athletic. So what makes Trey look so much better than a year ago?
Yeah, I think it's just a smoothness, and it has, you know, everything to do with his delivery plus his knowledge of the offense. Like, you know, there was, I'll give you an example of a bad play yesterday, and there was one that stood out, and he actually completed this pass, but there was hesitance, and there was a hitch in the delivery. The ball eventually got there. It was maybe a 15-yard pass and into the middle of the field, but it would have gotten picked off, I think, if the first team defense had been out there. And that's something that it was sort of we were seeing the last couple of years, that you know, he just didn't have the full offense down or to the degree that Kyle Shanahan wanted it. This year, everything is more in sync. It's more fluid. The motion looks more fluid. He's completing more passes. You know, David Lombardi and I, my my partner at The Athletic, we chart all the passes every training camp. And his completion percentage has been pretty much what it is in games. It's been a very good marker for what we're going to see in the regular season, albeit he hasn't had a lot of opportunities. But, you know, he's completing passes in the 50% range, which is not good. You want it in the 60%. Some QBs are in the 70%. So that's going to be very interesting to watch this summer, whether that number creeps into the 60s. And if it does, I think that everything that we're saying here in the spring is going to be proven correct.
With Brock Purdy, man, you've been covering this team a long time. Like, I just worry about these quarterback injuries, especially on the moneymakers, the shoulders, the elbows, that right arm for most of these guys. You know, Alex Smith and Mike Nolan famously got into it over the health of the shoulder and him coming back prematurely. This particular organization has greenlit guy after guy after guy to only have their body kind of fail them. We understand the game, very violent. Are you worried at all about Brock Purdy and the timeline and maybe the pressure to get back out on the field?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that the 49ers have kind of built in this cushion with Trey Lance, with Sam Darnold, with Brandon Allen, who's looked pretty good so far this spring, to the point where if there is a setback, if something happens with it, they're not going to push Brock Purdy into the starting lineup. I mean, your point about Alex Smith is really well taken. That dynamic, incident. I mean, it was bad. They were literally pushing the guy onto the field, yes, with an arm that was dangling out of its socket. Wow. That's not hyperbole. That actually happened. That's not happening with Brock Purdy. They're not putting pressure on him to return too soon. And I think the nature of this injury and the surgery is such that if it does all go according to plan, that arm should be just as strong as it was previously. And those will be the questions that's going to be written about ad nauseum, say, in late August, early September. Is that arm, does he have the same snap that he had last year? So that's a story to come, but I don't foresee any issues with them kind of pushing a guy in before he's ready.
Interesting stuff. Matt Barrows here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game. Covers the Niners for The Athletic. Deebo Samuel yesterday admitted that, hey, burned the tapes from last season. I was not good at all. Talked about him coming in out of shape. What did you think, take away from Deebo? That's a maturity. It looks like Deebo's matured this offseason. And we know he was kind of holding out for a contract. He didn't work out with Trey Lance last season. He does look in better shape in the videos, no doubt about that. Looks a little more slender. What did you take away from Deebo admitting that, hey, man, I don't think 2022 was my best season?
Yeah, I think it says two things. One, the relationship between Kyle Shanahan and Deebo Samuel. Shanahan had this guy come into his office, and they went over in a kind of painstaking fashion his tape from 2022. And Shanahan's telling him, look, you could have hit this one for a big gainer, and you didn't. You're a little sluggish. So the bottom line of that session is that you left a lot on the field in 2022, and it's a far cry from what you had in 2021. And I think that, you know, with someone like Deebo Samuel, I mean, that's going to wound anyone's pride. But with Deebo Samuel, the guy is like a force of nature. He's a hurricane. So if you get him upset, if you get him discontent, you're gonna reap the benefits. And that was the message. I mean, that's the vibe that I got. And George Kittle even picked it up when we sort of said the quote that Deebo Samuel gave us, that I was awful last year, back to him. Kittle, knows Samuel as well as anybody, and he said, that's great, because that means that this guy is motivated. And when he's motivated, like he was in 2021, big things are going to happen. He's going to be running over safeties and cornerbacks, just like he does when he gets going. So I think that's all good news. I think Brandon Ayuk has been the best player on the field this spring. So you have that. You've got a motivated Deebo Samuel, and you've got a healthy Kittle. Wasn't healthy at this point last year and missed the first two games of 2022. if all that kind of remains, that's very good news for whoever is under center in week one.
Considering who's under center week one, if I gave you one of two options, just for fun here, we all believe that Bosa is extremely important to what they're doing on defense. You get one of two options, okay, and you tell me what would be more difficult to win the Super Bowl, with a banged up quarterback's room or a banged up Nick Bosa. What are they more likely to be able to overcome?
Oh boy, that's a tough one, because I mean, you look at that defense and you automatically think, oh, they're such a good defense that they could stand to lose somebody. But it's that DN spot that is sort of the only question mark, and it really makes the whole defense tick. So I'm going to weasel out of this and ask, you know, how banged up is this quarterback room in your scenario here? I mean, is it NFC Championship banged up, or is it just different guys playing? Because I would say, just given the depth that they have at QB, that they'd be able to kind of limp their way through the season, whereas no Bosa, boy, that's bad news.
Interesting. That might be the only team in the NFL we do that exercise with.
Right.
Well, that's so funny you say that, because it's the only team in the NFL, really, that isn't kind of set up so that the quarterback is by far and away the highest paid guy on the team. The 49ers have gone the opposite way, where they've got a bunch of affordable quarterbacks and then some really expensive pieces all around them, including Bosa in a month and a half.
Right.
Fred Warner and Kittle and McCaffrey and all those other guys. It's not the same setup as most NFL franchises.
It does feel like it's kept them away from a Super Bowl. Next time we have you on, Matt, we'll talk about some contracts. I know the Niners like to negotiate during the training camp. I know Bosa talked about it. He's not worried about his contract extension, but Brandon Ayuk is one guy to look out for coming off his breakout season from the season ago. Matt, you're always good to us, man. We'll continue to follow your work at The Athletic. You do a great job for them. You've been doing a great job covering the Niners for a long, long time. Matt, we appreciate the time.
All right, I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot.